This is Evolutionary Radio. This is your host, Trevor Caritzen. We got the whole crew tonight coming at you live from the Evolutionary Radio headquarters. We got Steve Smee.
Hey, good evening, guys. What's up?
And then we got the Mason who just got home from his mandate. Matt, tell us about that.
Yeah, just a little bit of training with a buddy that I don't normally work out with. And he had his chest day scheduled tonight, asked me if I wanted to go. I said, sure. As long as it doesn't interfere with the podcast, because that's always number one priority. And I'm really excited. I got a new microphone, so I hope you guys can really tell. I think the quality is going to be great tonight.
You know what they say about couples? Couples who train together stay together. We got six awesome topics for you guys. Steve, you want to go ahead and introduce topic number one?
The first one is fiber and constipation. It seems like we get this question a lot. And a guy I wanted to know on the forum about that. So do you guys want to chime in first on this? And I'll kind of give my my thoughts.
I can. My thoughts, yeah. I'll go first and let Matt go. So fiber is both a friend and a foe. Fiber is obviously important for, you know, staying regular. It's also important for detoxifying your body. Because the longer toxins sit in your colon, intestines, the more likely they are to be reabsorbed. So if you're staying regular, very, very good. Constipation actually leads to toxicity. So fiber is good, but too much of anything is bad. Now, I ran into this issue when I was trying to bulk and I was eating, you know, 3,500, 4,000 calories per day. If you're trying to eat solely high fiber, clean foods like vegetables, oatmeal, sweet potatoes, your fiber intake is just going to be insane. So what I would say for this guy is look at how much fiber you're eating per day. I'd say about 30 to 60 grams is optimal. Anything less than that is going to lead to constipation. Anything more than that is also going to cause GI issues. If you're trying to bulk and you're eating a lot of food, you're going to want to use clean foods that are lower in fiber. Things like white rice, white potatoes. I really liked using those Quaker rice cakes, just the plain rice cakes. You could even use a carb powder after workout, things like that, because too much fiber is just as bad as too little. That's about it. There's two main types of fiber. There's insoluble and it's soluble. The majority of fiber you intake with foods in your regular diet, you know, things like beans, whole grains, fruits and vegetables, most of those are insoluble. Soluble fiber is something that's really, really good. And it's something you want to be supplementing with. And the only real good natural food source of it is psyllium husk. And what soluble fiber does is it absorbs water. That's why it's called soluble. So if you've ever had psyllium husk and you mix it with water and you notice that it creates a gel, it basically does the exact same thing in your stomach and the exact same thing in your intestines. It almost gives your intestines an internal scrubbing as it passes through them. So soluble fiber absorbs water and creates a gel. Insoluble fiber does not absorb water. So just some fiber 101. Matt and then Steve, what are your guys' thoughts on fiber and constipation?
So I think if you look from the other point of view, outside of actually the fiber you take in, there's two other things. There's just the water. If you're not hydrated, you're going to have issues and you're going to get backed up. So drinking enough water really makes a big difference. The other one is your protein intake. And I think, especially like Trevor said, people are bulking, they're eating a lot of food. But I think we tend to eat way too much protein. And I know we've talked about that in detail before. But I mean, if you're eating, you know, 300, 400 grams of protein per day, that's a lot of food that's just sitting in your gut. You know, so you really do need something in that case to push it along. I don't think it's that hard to get enough fiber in. Like what you actually need, you can get in without trying too hard. You know, if you have a salad and, you know, a piece of fruit and maybe some oatmeal, you're going to have more than enough, you know, for a day. I've never had issues with this, so it's hard for me to say. I know when I go away, my system gets a little bit funny when I travel for work or I just go on a vacation, and I feel terrible if I'm not on my regular morning poop schedule. So I think there's a bunch of foods too you can look at specifically. I know a lot of people, dairy will just kill them. They'll just be backed up forever. So, you know, it could be something specific for this guy like dairy, or it could be his overall hydration. It could be his, you know, protein. It could be not enough fiber. There's a lot that goes into it. So just take everything, break it down, and kind of look at each thing on its own and see if that'll help you out.
I think too, you got to remember, this is such a big problem with people. And I know a lot of people who have these types of issues. But the thing is, like, even this whole fiber thing, getting in fiber and all this stuff, is it solving the root problem? In a lot of cases, people, they've abused antibiotics in the past. They've had poor diets, lots of processed foods, not enough easy to digest foods in their diet, too much meat, too much dairy. The few vegetables they get are like root vegetables, which are very hard to digest, or stuff like cabbage, very hard to digest. So I feel like, you know, a lot of people, you've done so much damage over the years to your stomach. So one of the best ways to reverse that is going to more of a plant-based diet. Do that for a while, really helps, and you'll start noticing a big difference. And then you can gradually start bringing, you know, a little meat back in over time. But you want to stick to like the watery fruits, the watery vegetables, and that will really make a difference. But I really feel like just people who have stomach problems and have constipation issues, have bowel problems, they're always like, oh, I'm just going to take a fiber supplement. And I really feel like, you know, even though that might help, that's not solving the root problem. We see this a lot with medicine. Like, you go to a doctor with a problem, the doctor will write you a prescription, you know, for what he thinks is wrong with you. And it may fix a fifth of the problem, but now you still have to 4 more steps to go before you actually fix the issue, instead of just covering up, you know, a fifth of the way through. We see that with a lot of things over the years. I mean, I've been to the doctors for all kinds of stuff, and it just seems like, you know, you're not fixing the root issues on all the stuff. So it really boils down to what you're putting in your body. So do a better job of what you put in your body. Stop with the dead food. We eat too much dead food.
It's kind of like going to McDonald's and then ordering a Diet Coke. Sure, the Diet Coke has no calories, but you're missing the root of the problem. So yeah, that's a good point, Steve, is maybe it's not fiber. Maybe it's just eating like a lot of processed crap, you know, and then you can eat 10 Pop-Tarts and take a fiber supplement. It's great that you're hitting your fiber requirements, but you're still eating all that artificial junk. Steve, you want to go ahead and introduce topic number 2?
Next question is a good one, and we saw it on the forum. They want to know the best time to work out, and this is something that we don't talk about a lot. So let me give you some, you know, pros and cons of times to work out. If you go and work out, you know, 5-6 o'clock after work, you know, the con with that is that's the peak hours at your gym. Unless you live like in a place where it's like old people or something, but like a normal gym that has people, like it's a normal city or town, that's going to be a rush hour. It's going to be really packed. You may have to wait to use the equipment. Squat rack, forget it. There's going to be like 4 guys waiting to use a squat rack. So that's a disadvantage of working out that time of the day. Another disadvantage is mentally and physically. You get up in the morning, drive to work, bust your ass all day, and then you go to the gym, and it's like you're mentally exhausted if you have a mentally exhausting job, and you're physically exhausted if you have a physical job, like a construction job or digging ditches or something. So my opinion is that if you want to have a fresh workout, you know, go in the morning, you know, you wake up, you had just had 8 hours of sleep, you're fresh in the morning, make sure you hydrate and you're good to go. And that's when your body is going to be at its maximum performance. But a lot of you may be like, well, I can't work out in the morning, I'm too tired, or I can't work out unless I have, you know, food in my body throughout the day. Well, that's just something that you'll get used to. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, when you try new stuff, your body just takes time to adjust to it. And what I've actually been doing in the past year or so is I've been working out in the middle of the day. So what I, you know, on days I'm intermittent fasting, I'll basically hydrate in the morning. I won't eat anything. I'll go work out around 11:30 or 12. It's nice because the gym is empty. I haven't really expended myself mentally with work. And then I can get in a good workout, fresh workout. Then I can have lunch. And then I can finish work, and then I'll have the whole afternoon. I don't have to worry about going to the gym and standing in line for a machine. So that's been a strategy that's been working for me personally. So I think really, you know, it really depends on your schedule and stuff, but I really think that a really bad time to work out, in my opinion, is like before bed. Because I really think that, you know, if you want a good, have a nice, clean, crisp sleep, working out, you know, 7-8 o'clock at night, then coming home, showering, and then hitting the bed, you know, by 10, your body doesn't have that time to kind of relax. You know, you just hammered it with a workout. So I really think that would be the worst time, I think, to work out. But like I said, you know, sometimes we have to do what we got to do, you know, so it really depends on your schedule. What do you guys think?
Matt, you go ahead. I'll finish up.
So, I mean, the main thing to remember is that any workout is better than not working out at all. So don't feel like you have to be that nitpicky if you're, you know, the guy that's wondering, oh, am I going to waste it? No, it's never a waste to go work out. The one thing I want to point out is if your goal is fat loss, and more so that you're overweight, obese, you're just trying to lose fat, definitely do not train late in the day. There's a few reasons why. I think it's just from experience what I've seen. I think people in that scenario, when they train first thing in the morning or early in the morning, mentally it really sets them up for the day, and they're a lot less likely to cheat on their diets or make bad decisions because they've got that workout in, they feel good, they don't want to waste it. It really gives them some motivation, and I think it's much easier to start off the day and then, you know, end up having a cheat meal, and then you get to the nighttime and you're lazy and you're not going to go to the gym. You know, enough people have a hard time getting to the gym later in the day, kind of like what Steve just said. So I, you know, if fat loss is your goal, definitely try to do it first thing in the morning. You'll develop much better habits. I kind of like the idea of training in the middle of the day. That's something I've done that forever. And the main reason is it works with my schedule. So whatever works with your schedule, you kind of have to, you know, be within that. But I like it because it breaks up the day for me. You know, in the morning, I'm off to work and I have something to look forward to in the middle of the day. And then after that, it's kind of like a reset. And I know I only have a few hours left to work and, you know, kind of go on my day. So, you know, you have to try different things. I've trained for a good year and a half or so. I trained with a buddy at 5:30 in the morning and I loved it. But that's not something I would do alone. I needed that person with me, and I really enjoyed training that early. But again, it's all situational. You know, like I said, it's not something I would do alone. So it may be different if you have a partner that you train with, or you don't. So kind of, it's one of those things you have to try different things and see what works for you and what you like best. And I think I kind of found what I like best, and I'll stick with it until I want to try something else.
From a science standpoint, it makes absolutely no difference. They've done a lot of really good studies where basically they studied whether or not cardio is more effective if you do it on an empty stomach versus you do it later in a day. if working out is more effective if you do it earlier in the day, later in the day. All those studies basically show that there is no measurable difference in terms of results. So when it comes to cardio, no, you don't have to do it on an empty stomach. Just do it whenever it best fits your schedule. Same with working out. There's no magic. You know, yes, testosterone levels are higher in the morning, but you have to remember big picture with all this stuff. It really is going to make no real world difference. I always tell people, work out whenever best fits your schedule or whenever you feel the best. You know, if you're a morning person, hit your workout in the morning. You know, if you're a night owl, hit your workout in the evening. You should work out whenever best fits your schedule and whenever you feel the best to train. There's no magic time or certain whatever to work out. Matt, I'll let you go ahead and introduce topic number three.
Yeah, so we got a question on protein shakes. And a guy, he's about to go on his first cycle. And he said, how many protein shakes are needed during the day? And does that change as I'm going on this cycle? And I told him we would discuss it because Steve's got a strong view on protein powders. Trevor knows a lot about protein intake and what you know, what your body can handle off cycle, on cycle, all that. And I'm kind of in the middle. I don't hate them, but I don't use them. It's kind of just here and there. So I thought, great question for the podcast because we can bring three different perspectives. So I hope it helps, buddy. For me, basically, I don't worry about shakes being part of my diet. They're just there for when I need them. And that's the way that I look at it. I am busy. My kids are in sports. You know, I work, my wife works, just the family life, everything. It gets crazy. So there are times where I'll have a shake, but it's not something I really look at and I plan for and I budget. It's just if I run out of time, then I grab one and I know, okay, well, this is kind of what I'm going to have tonight because I got to get to baseball practice and I don't have any time to eat. So that's what it's going to be as my dinner tonight. As far as intake is concerned, do you need to increase it? Overall protein? Sure. You can go up a little bit on cycle. Do you need to? Not necessarily. Again, it depends on your goals. But don't look at as shakes as your first option. That's my point of view. Use them if you need them, but I would take what your diet is, and if you're trying to gain mass, just eat more. You know, if you're eating 4 ounces of chicken with your dinner, make it 6 ounces of chicken. Just increase your meal size. And then again, I would just do it the same way for me. If I need a shake, then I would have a shake. I wouldn't look at it any different. But don't get caught up in what some of the younger guys do where the shakes are their main protein source. So they might have, you know, 4 shakes a day and then, you know, a couple small meals. That's not long term. That's not going to be good for you. But protein can be very useful to fill in those gaps, I think.
Also remember a lot of your favorite, you know, sort of celebrities on Instagram or YouTube or whatever are often sponsored by supplement companies or own supplement companies. So it makes sense that they recommend a huge intake of shakes. You know, we had Mark Lobliner on the show. He's a great guy. He's very genuine, but he flat out said, you know, the reason I take so many whey protein shakes is because I own MTS Nutrition. I get this stuff for free. So if you were getting protein shakes for free, you'd probably use a lot more of them. Or if you were trying to promote your brand, promote your sponsor, whatever, you'd probably use a lot more of them than you normally would. Steve, go ahead.
Well, you know, we talked about it on a previous podcast. For those of you who maybe just listened this first time, the history of protein shakes is very simple. The 80s, you had the supplement companies start slapping these bodybuilders like Arnold, whatever, on the protein tub. They start noticing, you know, they'd be able to sell these protein tubs for whatever, 30, 40 bucks. Today, protein tubs cost even more. You know, there's some that are going for 80 bucks. And they want to convince you that you need protein shakes, you know, when you're trying to build muscle. And the bottom line is you don't. I've drank maybe 2 or 3 protein shakes in the past decade. and I just don't need them in my diet. Look, the body knows. I don't care what the science says. I don't care what the books say. I don't care what the supplement companies want to tell you. The body knows the difference between a powder and real food. You know, and Rich Piana, you know, rest in peace, but he used to say that all the time. He used to say protein powder is not real food. And I agree with him. The body knows the difference. I drink a greens powder in the mornings. And is that my substitute for getting vegetables? Absolutely not. I do make sure I eat my vegetables throughout the day, but the greens powder is kind of just my way of hydrating in the morning, getting some extra vitamins and minerals. But my body knows that that greens powder isn't really like eating a salad. My body knows the difference. So you can't just survive drinking protein shakes all day. You're not going to reach your fitness goals depending on protein shakes. And really, you know, it's dairy. Dairy is inflammatory. A lot of you are lactose intolerant. If you get a concentrate, it's got lactose in it. You're going to have a hard time digesting it. But even if you get an isolate, you're going to have a hard time digesting it as well, because dairy is in general hard to digest and inflammatory. So listen, I mean, if you like the protein shakes, it doesn't bother your stomach, you feel good on it, by all means, drink them. But if you feel like shit on them, and we get these posts every day, someone complaining they feel like shit on a protein shake, then just don't drink them. You're not going to lose your muscles if you don't have a protein shake. You can totally succeed at any fitness goal without protein shakes. And nobody I know at the gym, and I know all the meatheads, trust me, we spot each other. They ask me for spots. I ask them for spots. None of us drink protein shakes. None of us. The only guys in my gym who run to the protein bar are like these skinny little 20-year-olds. They got their little bird chest and 11-inch arms. They run to the protein bar after their workout. So we don't eat. We eat real food. We go home. We eat a real dinner after we work out. We don't eat protein shakes. I'm just telling you how it is.
Matt, I guess me and you are little bird-chested wannabes because we use protein shakes. I'm kind of with Matt. I use a protein shake only when necessary. So if it's a busy day and I got to run to a meeting right after, I have to teach right after, something like that, I'll have a protein shake. And it's kind of almost like I view it as like a snack to tide me over until I can have a substantial meal. So let's say I'm working out. I know I got a meeting right after. After my workout, I'll maybe have like a protein shake, eat a serving of fruit. After my meeting, I would then have a whole food meal. So I don't think protein shakes are bad. I would just use them kind of as like snacks until you're able to get a whole food meal, but they should not be the basis of your diet. You know, if you're having one or two shakes per day, that's fine, but you still want to be getting, you know, 3, 4, 5 solid food meals per day. Matt, do you want to go ahead and introduce topic number 4?
Yeah, we got a good steroid question here. I want Steve to go first on this one, because I know he's an expert on this, and he'd have a really, really good opinion on it. The guy's question is, he has on hand test, tren, and NPP, and his goals are to bulk, but he heard that tren is a cutter, and he's never used tren before. So he wants to know if he's able to run a bulking cycle if he were to use his test, his tren, and his NPP together.
Yeah, so my theory behind the whole tren as a cutter thing is, I think guys who are like overweight and they're not consistent in the gym, they don't eat good, they'll hop on tren. The tren will really, you know, boost their, you know, their protein synthesis and metabolism. They'll start wanting to work out, they're motivated, they'll start eating better, and they'll start cutting down. And then they'll be like, oh my God, tren's a great cutter. But if you're already in great shape and you hop on tren, you're not going to lose weight on tren. You're actually going to gain weight. You'll move the scale pounds very, very quickly. And you won't like necessarily, it won't be like bad weight. So tren is a great bulker. if you eat a lot on trend, you should have a lot of success bulking. But I mean, don't do that if you're overweight. If you're too fat, you don't want to use trend and you don't want to bulk because you want to kind of leave yourself room to kind of take advantage of that. So I found over the years using trend, when I've been at a low body fat and I'll hop on trend, like I'll gain like 5 pounds on trend, like really fast. And it's like, it's weird because like your muscles will get bigger and fuller on it, but you won't necessarily like, you know, you won't like get fatter, you know? So, but I, when I've used trend, when I've been more like mid-teens body fat wise, then trend really like just adds a lot of strength, moves the scale. Like my biggest and strongest I have ever been was on trend. So I don't know why people want to characterize trend as something you take and you like get really lean and get really, really skinny on. That's just not the, my experience with it. So, you know, I can just tell you that, but yeah, I mean, of course, any anabolic steroid you're going to be able to bulk on. I mean, that's just common sense. That's why they're called anabolic steroids. They're not called catabolic steroids.
I never really saw the point of needing trend to bulk. Like when you're bulking, you should be eating a lot of food. You know, you should be on a workout split where you're focusing on recovery. You shouldn't be doing too much cardio. You should be able to grow really well naturally if you're doing everything right on a bulking program. So adding in a super aggressive steroid like trend, just for me, I personally don't think it's necessary. You know, I would much rather him use just the test and the NPP, something really mild, kind of like be like the icing on the cake. That's kind of my thoughts. I would save the trend for when you're wanting to do like a recomp, when you're wanting to do like a pre-contest cycle or you're getting ready for a photo shoot, something where, you know, your calories are going to be lower, and using a very aggressive and androgenic steroid like trend will keep your strength high when you're doing lots of cardio, you're on low calories, things like that. So for my personal opinion and my philosophy is I would save the trend for later. And if you're looking to bulk, just really mild, you know, you can do test and DECA, you can do test and Q, test and NPP, or you can just run test. Matt, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think the reason why it gets categorized as a cutter is just the fact that it's a dry compound. And that seems to be the way that we want to classify these things. I mean, you can really do what you want with any compound, if you do it the right way. But I think another thing is the guys that tend to have that negative reaction in their gut with trend. We know trend's infamous for that. I've never experienced it personally, but I know guys that they're on trend and they can't eat and they always feel nauseous and they just have upset stomach, and it's harsh. It is harsh on the gut. So I think that's another, you know, you hear these stories about what people have experienced and then, you know, that's kind of what you think. But can you do it? Sure. I'm not a fan of running anything just because you have it on hand. And that's kind of what it sounds like here. I think I'm kind of with Trevor on, if you wanted to just bulk, just run the test and the NPP. I think that's plenty. The trend, will it help? It might. But I think you'd really get your money's worth if you saved it and you had another cycle ready to go with it, you know, more geared towards your goals. So I think with the steroid part, less is more. I think put more focus on, you know, the diet part, because that's really where the bulking is going to, you know, be effective. You're really going to have to have your diet right. So put more attention onto the diet and training, and then just keep the cycle part real simple. Run the test, the NPP, and I think you'd be fine, and just keep your goals in check. And yeah, I'd save the trend for another run.
Topic number 5 is our relationship topic. Steve.
Yeah, I came across an interesting article. I've been doing a lot of research on psychological stuff and human psychology. I'm actually going to write some articles on that once I get rolling on that. So this summer, look for that on our forum. But I was kind of looking at the situation with flaky chicks, and we had a guy post on the forum, not our forum, but a different forum. He said he went out with a girl, they had a really good first date, and then the second date, the night before, she flaked on him. So she flaked on him twice, and then they finally went out on a second date. Then between the second and third date, she flaked on him again. And he's like, it's been a constant theme. And he's like, they've gone out 4 times and she's flaked on them pretty much every time, sometimes twice. And he wants to know, you know, what should I do? Should I continue pursuing her or should I just move on? So I came across some interesting stuff on this. There's something I should call NPD and BPD, which are borderline personality disorders. And this actually talks about why people do stuff like this. And it works both ways with both men and women. And one of the reasons for that is typically, I guarantee you, this chick, her parents are probably divorced. That is a huge red flag. So I bet you her parents were divorced. I bet you she's been in an abusive relationship before. I bet you she probably has tried to get sympathy for you about something. Like if she flaked on you, she probably used the excuse of, oh, I'm sick, or oh, my kid is sick, or I have to go to a funeral or something like that. So I've actually gone through this in my past as well with girls. And this pattern is actually something that I've noticed as well. So he wants to know, you know, should it continue? My advice to him is like, dude, if a chick flakes on you one time, that's one thing. But if she keeps doing it over and over, dude, I would move on. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'd give her like one chance to flake. Cause yeah, sometimes people do get sick. And if she's sick the day of the day and she's throwing up and stuff, all right, cut her some slack on that. But like, if it happens twice, I mean, look, you know, it's a little bit more than a coincidence. So I really feel like people like this are just trash. And what you do with trash is you take it out and you get rid of it. So the best thing for you to do, bro, is just move on as soon as possible and find someone who's going to be respectful towards you and who's going to have more respect when that. And the same thing in life in general, friends that do this type of shit. I have friends that are flaky. I don't fucking associate with them anymore. Business partners are flaky. Coworkers can be flaky. All this type of shit. You want to watch out for that because these types of people, it really is some type of personality disorder and has something to do with the way they were raised, what they saw in their parents' relationship, or it could be a previous relationship that caused them to be like this. So I would definitely move on. What do you guys think? Have you guys ever had this happen either with friends or family or relationships? And what did you do?
I'll go first. We'll let Matt go last because he's married. Yeah, like if a girl's constantly flaking on you and she's just not that interested in you, I mean, that's the reality of it. I mean, life happens. So, okay, if you guys are planning on going on a date and she got in a car accident or something, I mean, yeah, but I mean, that's like a one in a million type thing. Like if it's happening on a regular basis, you're kind of her second best option and she's just using you if she doesn't have anything better. So I'd basically say, man, just get rid of her. You know, life's too short for people like that. And let's give her the benefit of the doubt. Let's just say that's just her personality. Is that someone you'd even want to date anyways? Like, let's say you're planning dinner for her on Friday night. You got flowers and you made her dinner and everything. Then she flakes on you. Like, it's just, that's not the type of person you'd want to date anyways. It doesn't seem like she's that into you. I would just cut her out of your life and consider it a blessing in disguise and look for something better. Matt, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Trevor. Forget all the stuff. Like Steve had some good detail and research there. Forget any of that. My instinct would just be they don't think I'm that important, or they don't care enough about me. That's where I would come from right off the bat. So I get why he's kind of wondering what's going on here. I think I'm going to agree with Steve and say it's kind of, it's time to call it a day and move on, because, you know, once or twice, maybe that's it. But over and over, that's a pattern. And, you know, that's not going to change. That's how she is as a person. If you're really worried to leave her, let it go, whatever, the last thing I guess you could try is to just back off. Just don't reach out to her at all and see if she reaches out to you. And then you'll have your answer on how important you are. If you stop messaging her, calling her, whatever, and you don't hear from her for a couple of days, well, then you know you made the right call and you just move on. But if she starts calling right away, hey, I didn't hear from you, I'm really sorry, blah, 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 you know, you see where it goes. But I mean, I'm heavily leaning towards it's going to continue and you're just going to end up getting hurt the longer it goes. So I know it's easier said than done, but I'd probably find a way to move on and look for somebody else out there.
Remember, people are consistent. There's a reason that when you buy a house or you rent a house or something, they'll check your credit score because they want to see, does this guy pay his bills on time? And same thing, like even with jobs, like job companies will actually check your credit score these days because they want to see, is this person responsible? And people who have shitty credit and they don't pay their bills on time, you really think they're going to pay you on time if you rent them a house, if you're their landlord? Of course not. And I was a landlord for 8 years and people are consistent. And people, like, I would watch people when they came into the house. Did they take their shoes off when they walked in the house? If they did, they're going to be clean tenants. If they walked in with dirty shoes and put dirt everywhere, then they're going to be dirty tenants. And when it came time to pay rent, if they paid me rent on time, no problems, they'd pay me rent on time every month. If they were late 5 days, then every month they'd be late 5 days. So people are considering, so ask yourself, when you date this person, is that what you want to go through for the rest of your life? Do you want to go through a flaky ass person? I don't think so. So remember that. And, you know, like, you really have to get out of it ASAP because you're going to end up just like falling in love with someone who's a flake. And that's not what you want.
So our last topic is fruit. So I had a young guy. He messaged me on Instagram. He seemed like a really, really nice guy. And, you know, he said, hey, I know you're busy. I don't want to take too much of your time. If I send you the diet I made myself, will you look it over for me and give me your 2 cents? I said, absolutely, man. Send me, here's my email. Email me it. So he sent me his diet. And it was a typical, you know, bodybuilder diet, like chicken and rice, chicken and rice, chicken and rice, protein shake. So I said, add some more variety. You know, I'd like to see some wild caught fish in your diet instead of just eating rice. Maybe have some sweet potatoes, have some oatmeals. There's not enough fruits or vegetables. Also, like, you're not eating any fruits or vegetables. They're very, very important, not just for the fiber content, but also for their vitamins and minerals. And he said, you know, I thought fruit was bad for you. And there's a big misconception about the whole fruit and fructose thing. And a lot of that comes from high fructose corn syrup and sugar. So yes, absolutely, high fructose corn syrup and sugar, they're not good for you. But fruit is very healthy, and it's something I recommend incorporating, you know, one or two servings into anyone's diet. So fructose kind of gets a bad rap because fructose can only replenish liver glycogen. It cannot replenish muscle glycogen. Your liver has a capacity of around 50 to 60 grams. So if you eat more than 50 to 60 grams of fructose in a single serving, then your liver is going to hit capacity. It's all going to be turned to body fat. A serving of fruit is only going to have about 6 grams of fructose. So you would have to eat about 10 servings of fruit in one sitting for the negative effects to happen. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I wouldn't eat 10 grapefruits in one sitting. So that's where the misinformation comes from. I want to know, do you guys eat fruit in your diet? I mean, I have, you know, a grapefruit or an apple or, you know, a serving of berries once or twice a day. Matt and Steve, what are you guys' thoughts on fruit?
Yeah, I do. I like to have about one serving of fruit per day. I always have different types of fruit in the house. Especially my youngest kid, he's really picky. So sending lunches to school is tough. So I have to have, you know, different varieties just to have stuff for him. I like blackberries. My little guy eats strawberries, so we'll have those. We always have apples at home. My older son, he'll eat anything. So we'll have bananas, grapefruits, my wife likes. So we'll always have stuff, but I usually stick to about one serving. It's more about just the carbs for me. Like, I just try to keep overall carbs down. I think for at least 90% of people, I would never worry about eating fruit, because I think in general, people's diets are so bad that if you're eating fruit instead of food A, B, or C, it's always going to be a better choice. The only time that I'm going to worry about people eating fruit is, we tend to see this more in women than men, are the people that eat fruit all day long when they're trying to diet or cut down, and they eat like no vegetables, no protein, just all fruit. And that might be the time that I'd worry about it, but, I like to have a variety. Like where I live, it's cold most of the year. So when it's nice, I really like to get the local fruits and vegetables and enjoy those. And it makes a big difference. So yeah, I would always include fruit. And like we talked about earlier, it's a good way to get, you know, some fiber in. You know, when you eat an apple, make sure you're eating the skin of the apple. Things, you know, it's that simple sometimes. So yeah, fruit's definitely a good choice. But, you know, if you have goals and you're tracking what you're trying to do, you know, definitely include it, because fruits are going to have a lot more calories than vegetables. So just something to keep in mind.
The thing with fruit, this is the confusion in the medical industry. This is why doctors are such morons, is that they'll tell a diabetic, oh, you can't have fruit, but they have no problem with a diabetic eating a bagel. Well, a watermelon and a bagel, the glycemic index on both is 77, right? But the glycemic load of a watermelon is only a 4. So is the watermelon going to spike your blood sugar? You know, I mean, and the thing about it is anything you put in your body gets converted into sugar. So people think, oh, I can just eat steak all day. That's okay. Well, it gets turned into sugar in your body. We run on sugar in our bodies. So you can either do it the efficient way, eat a watermelon and you get an immediate, the sugar is instantly converted in the body, or you can eat a steak. Your body has to work to convert it into sugar to give you the energy, right? So it goes to our first topic, which is eating all the dead food that we eat versus eating the live food. So do I eat fruit? Of course I eat fruit. I eat a lot of fruit. Fruit's really, really good for you. It's got a lot of antioxidants, vitamins, minerals. It's a live food. It's got lots of good bacteria. And it's not going to make you fat eating fruit. So hell yeah, I eat fruit. Apples, watermelon, papaya, any fruit. The only fruit that I avoid are bananas, because bananas don't have very much water content. They're only at 77, I think, or 78. A watermelon's like in the mid-90s. So I eat the more watery fruits. The trick with fruits is buy them in season. Whatever happens to be in season, buy them. This way you're not eating the same fruits all the time. So right now in my supermarket, the apples are like $1.29 a pound for organic apples. So I'm eating lots of organic apples right now. Works great. In another month, maybe watermelon will be on sale. Then I'll be eating a lot of watermelon and so on. So it's really good to switch up the fruit that you're eating too. So I'm a big fan of fruit. I did the whole not eating fruit thing a couple years ago. I went, you know, I tried that out and I found out that, you know, I really think that I'm leaner, I'm healthier by incorporating fruit in my diet. So there's absolutely no problem eating fruit.
Last thing I'm going to say, and then I'll close up the show. I really like incorporating pineapple and papaya into a diet program for someone who is bulking and eating a lot of protein, because those naturally contain digestive enzymes, which will help your body digest and assimilate that protein. If you're ever eating like a big steak, have some papaya after it, and you'll find your digestive system is so much better. Papaya and pineapple. Those are the two fruits that you cannot make jello with because it will actually dissolve the gelatin and it won't set. This has been another great episode of Evolutionary Radio. We got some really good guests booked for the next two podcasts, so stay on a lookout for those. For your host, Trevor Caritzen, for my co-hosts, Steve Smee and Matt, who is known as Masonic Bodybuilder on the evolutionary.org and elitefitness.com forums. Live your life, look good doing it. Thanks for listening. Thank you.